Hello, everyone. My name is Joshua Gilliland. I am one of the two founding attorneys of the Legal Geeks. With me so far to discuss Ahsoka Fallen Jedi is Stephen Tollefield. Stephen, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the next episode. But had a lot of fun going back over the last episode to come up with some ideas for tonight.
In our last recording, I made the reference Fallen Jedi, not knowing that would be the title of the next episode.
So
So
prescient, the force was with you.
we should be going to Vegas, man. We should
Yeah.
be going to
Always
Vegas.
in future. The future is shifting in motion. It is. How would it do to say? Yeah.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Let's
Yeah.
go. So, but this, God, I love having Star Wars be an appointment TV hour on Tuesday nights,
Yeah.
where everyone just can get together and watch. It is such a beautiful thing. What was your impression of this episode before we jump into all of our legal analysis?
The dramatic tension of Ahsoka suggesting that they might have to leave or set aside their idea of going to rescue Ezra certainly threw a monkey wrench in the plot for me. That's seems like that's been the through line for Sabine, and of course it was something that Baylan exploited when he convinced Sabine to help him and to get to Ezra because Sabine sounded like Ahsoka was ready to give up on that, and Sabine absolutely is not ready to. So, added a whole other layer to things for sure.
That's a big ask.
Yeah.
That's a really big sacrifice. I think it's the right sacrifice given that, what Ezra was willing to give up in
Yeah.
order to stop Thrawn the first time around. So the idea that we're going to have to, I wouldn't say give up all hope, but give up hope on this plan to get him. I do think that's the right call, but that's the perfect way to exploit someone.
Yeah. Well, and he and Ezra said to Sabine that he's counting on her right before he left. And so she's got this extra weight of him to counting on her to help him, or at least that's how she's interpreting it. And that sort of duty and family is sort of very powerful impulses for a lot of people, but also for Mandalorians in particular. Once you're bound to do something, that's a big ask to just sort of give up on it, not even try.
Well, that and the Mandalorians and Jedi do have conflicting worldviews. You have the no attachment, don't worry about it, to we're stronger together. So, like, that's a huge, I mean, huge internal conflict for her just to give up on someone that she loves in the agape sense, not in the romantic sense, that I'm just not going to give up on him. So that's a huge issue right there and a huge ask. That said, this episode ends with a perfect surprise. Star Wars has excelled at having perfect surprises. The first being, I am your father. Second being, Baby Yoda. And then this.
Yeah.
I mean, Slackjaw, what are we looking at here? So, which is why we'll finish and then we'll jump in and go watch episode five.
Yeah, the use of Vader's theme right there at the very end was very interesting or chilling.
Yeah, I will find out if this is my reaction was okay, if it's a force ghost, why isn't he in the Return of the Jedi Guard?
Yeah.
Or is this a manifestation from Ahsoka's mind? Like, what's going on here? So, like, there's a lot to unpack of how is
Yeah.
Anakin hanging out of the world between worlds, and what does that mean? And is she seeing him in the way that she remembered him? So, I don't know. We'll find out. And speculation is bad, but what's not bad is legal analysis. All right, so. Stalking. is Elsbeth's henchmen stalking Ahsoka and Sabine. Steven, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's the statute that in California is 6469, which is the kind of hunting or repeatedly follow or willfully and maliciously harassing. That's the statute that allows victims of stalking to sort of seek court orders to sort of stay away. But this is also the prosecution of people who stalk. This is the criminal statute. So yeah, it seems like if they're like hunt them down, that seems like a very intentional harassing, willfully and maliciously. Although it does say repeatedly, so in the statute. So I don't know. I mean, they have been kind of chasing them and doing this sort of cat and mouse thing for a couple episodes now. So I would think that that would be sufficient as sort of a pattern of trying to get someone or get them out of the way. That would be sufficient to violate the statute. What do you think?
I agree because the entire time on the planet, they're being stalked. It started in space. It's continued to landing on the planet. They're being sent out again. It might be crossing into gang violence at this point because of the number of people involved. Definitely gang activity. And it just raises the issue of like, this looks like stalking. Now, it's also attempted murder, probably murder for hire. So you got the solicitation side of it as well. With they're all those dudes are there to make a buck. Like they're not there because they believe in Morgan Elsbeth, their henchmen, and they do serve as cannon fodder. And that just makes them just old-fashioned bad guys. It does bring us into a funky self-defense issue because at the T6, when the professor's attacked, like they attack him. Like he's fighting back to save himself. So because Sabine go out and light the whoop ass lamp. It's a wonderful action sequence. Like using the force to move someone as a human shield. Okay, a little problematic on some levels, but like it's a beautiful fight scene. Like even in the dark, it looks good. So I do, but that looks like the beginning of, again, continued harassing conduct. Granted, it's to kill them, but so again, there's the murder element that they're doing this to kill the good guys.
Side note, I was shocked that like Merrick is just kind of like dead. Like there was so much speculation about like who they were and was it like Ezra or is it like an Inquisitor? And then they're just like, no, it's just a guy who's now dead.
He's dead, and the way they it looked like Night Witch magic reanimated a corpse.
Yeah, you're right with the green mist. Yeah.
And he kind of shrivels up as he dies. So it's like, okay, so are we dealing with like a Savage Opress type thing? Or is this, do they literally get a corpse of a Jedi or an Inquisitor, jumpstart the guy with dark magic, and then you have him running around like one of the bad guys from Hellboy, who then deflates when cut with a lightsaber.
Star Wars goes for the fast zombies. I do give them that. That's good.
That entire face-off is exceptional. Now, this allows us to talk about three things: self-defense, mutual combat, and dueling. So they're all going to be intermixed here. Self-defense is well defined that you can defend yourself with comparable force to someone that means you harm. In California, you don't have a duty to retreat. Some states you do. When our heroes are at the ship and they're being confronted, it's kind of like that their house. But definitely Ahsoka's home. They don't get boarded, but there's a fight outside with like that's like crossing under the curtilage of the ship, if a ship has a curtilage. And defending themselves is completely justified. And that looks like old-fashioned self-defense. Next up is mutual combat. And mutual combat is a subset in the self-defense jury instructions. And a fight is mutual combat when it began or continued by mutual consent or agreement. That agreement may be expressly stated or implied and must occur before the claim to self-defense arose. This is where it gets weird with the second fight that has Shin and Merrick? Mark? Why am I blanking on pronouncing his name correctly?
I've been saying Merrick, but I'm not sure
Okay.
that that's correct.
Let's go with that. We can
Okay.
be consistent. They face off, each pair up, and they start fighting. Couple ways to look at this. One, it's continued self-defense. Like they start at the ship, our heroes are going towards Baylan to get to the map, and that's where they interact with Shin and Merrick and have that fight. I think that's a little bit of a stretch because self-defense is shouldn't be like continuously across a battlefield. So them squaring off might be a form of mutual combat that they're deciding to slug it out then and there because our heroes can't go around them. They have to go through them, which would kind of make them the aggressor in the story.
And very
But
un-Jedi-like. Jedi
yeah.
the Force for defense only. Although Ahsoka's no Jedi, of course, but
I also don't think. I think it is consistent with Jedi tenets because they're trying to stop something bad from happening. So, like, I don't think they're violating their own canon. But again, they come into people waiting for them, and a fight ensues. It also raises the issue of dueling. I think it's clear with Baylan versus Ahsoka that that's a full-on duel. The prior fight might be just mutual combat, but I mean, like they can overlap and they could be the same thing. But dueling, and this is from Black's Law Dictionary, the common law offense of fighting at an appointed time and place after an earlier disagreement. If one of the participants is killed, the other is found guilty of murder, and all who are present abetting the crime are guilty as principals in the second degree. Dueling is prearranged fighting with deadly weapons, usually under certain agreed or prescribed rules. It is a misdemeanor at common law to fight a duel, even though no death results, to challenge another to a duel, intentionally provoke such a challenge, or knowingly be the bearer of such a challenge. What do you think on dueling versus mutual combat or self-defense with these skirmishes?
Yeah, it's funny that the Black's Law Dictionary is so specific about it being a fighting after an earlier disagreement, sort of is a way to resolve. In other words, it's a way to resolve a dispute between two people through violence. And I guess in a sense that's what's going on. They have a dispute over whether Elsbeth should use the map to bring Thrawn back to their galaxy, I suppose. But it's not the kind of dispute over honor or even a contractual dispute that would be the sort of classic example of people dueling in order to figure out who's correct or who's right in the situation.
Yeah, there isn't, you have no honor, but it's a little different than mutual combat because they're following norms of like the capes come off, like they square up, like
Right, yeah.
they're like talking to each other, or at least Baylan's doing a lot of talking. Ahsoka does not, she stays focused on mission, which is good. Compared to Baylan, who's purposely taunting, trying to get her off her game. And I mean, just from the taunts, it's like, no, so Ahsoka was not the bringer of death. Vader was. Like, Vader was. Ahsoka doesn't fall into that category. So, like, him just trying to taunt her about her former master was, again, he's just being a jerk
Yeah,
trying to.
such a great bad guy though. It's so good for the dark side. The dark side is all about shaking your convictions and making you doubt yourself and looking for the easy answers. And it's so great. I love he's just a silver-tongued. He's so the writing in there was really, really fun to watch.
He is such a loss. He is, I mean, because he's so good in this role. I mean, they still haven't announced what he died of.
Yeah, this is really too bad.
Oh
He's
God,
been
it
in
just
so many things.
so many things, and like he is so good in this. Like it's a
Yeah.
gut punch to watch. It's like, yeah, his art lives on, but it would be nice to have him around because the social media post of them like hanging out.
Yeah, I saw that. It's so sweet.
They look like they're all super fun.
Yeah.
All of them. So it's just, oh, it sucks. Because he's so good. I mean, I would love one of those lightsabers. Like, I would, okay, that might be like number 8 or 9, but yeah, I'm like, I totally would get that and put it on the wall with the others because it just, it's like the broadsword. And I mean, the fight, he has such a height advantage on her.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka goes for headshots.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And the choreography was so sort of more samurai, very slow, just a couple hits before they sort of step away and kind of do their psychological warfare. It was a little different from the fight choreography of a lot of the more recent films and shows, where it's much more ninja-y and jumping around and nimble. This was very centered and strong.
Yeah, it's a Kurosawa movie. I mean, it's like we're watching Mojimbo. It's like that level of like strike once and cut the bad guy down. Like this is really well done. Which we do see it's possible to upset Ahsoka. Because when Shin shows up, Ahsoka immediately expects the worst that Sabine died. So she goes for, I'm going to give Shin a concussion. It's during a, like they're in full on combat. It's not a Jedi thing to do that. I mean, like that's a very anger motivated strike. I'm oddly okay with it. But I was like, I'm just going to bash the chick's head in. Like that was her reaction. And it's just like she would have a concussion after that. She needs an MRI.
Right. Yeah, Ahsoka does get kind of rattled from time to time in a way that seems I mean, she's definitely a very different character from when we last saw her in the Clone Wars and even in Rebels. She used to be so, you know, kind of funny and happy-go-lucky and careless, and then she's gotten kind of more dour and more brooding since then. So it's interesting to see her portrayal now so many years later.
But she's supposed to be in her late 40s.
Yeah.
So it's like, what were you like at 16 versus like 45? And the answer is very different.
Yep.
It's
Yeah.
just, and like she went through the Clone Wars and the Empire. So she's got some serious mileage on her from very bad things happening.
Yeah.
So being in crossed arm, even though she's done that in the Clone Wars a bunch. But the lack of smiling until this episode, this is like we see her smile a couple times in this one before all the fighting gets out of control. I'm like, I don't have a problem with her being more stoic in her 40s.
No, absolutely. And at the risk of opening up the Last Jedi discourse, it's a similar I liked the Last Jedi in the way that it portrayed Luke as having kind of a midlife crisis and questioning what his legacy is going to be, and wondering whether he just made too many mistakes to sort of ever redeem himself, and seeing another character like Ahsoka also experience that very human growth arc of kind of reaching midlife and wondering, sort of questioning their past and whether they did the right thing, is very human and very relatable, at least to me at this point in my life. Oh, you're muted. Sorry.
Yeah, it'd be weird if somebody in their late 40s still acted like they did when they were 17.
Right.
It would just be that meant you peaked in high school. Like there's nothing left. Like that's all that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Core values be the same. Like that like seeing a complete reversal of values would be shocking. But seeing someone more stoic, more refined,
mm-hmm.
who's gone through some heavily traumatic experiences, like finding out who Vader was had to shake her to her core.
Yeah.
Anakin was the MVP, the guy that everybody liked. Him going to the dark side, you know, like had to be soul crushing.
Yeah. If he's corruptible, then how safe am I? How corruptible am I? It's a very difficult thing to confront.
And also seeing war up close, you know, for, oh, I don't know, 20 years, like that had to take a lot out of her. So, and to retain the spirit that she has, it's like, okay, her core values are the same. She might not be as jokey as she was when a teenager, but that'd be weird if she's, again, sounded like a 16-year-old.
Exactly. Poster child for outlawing child soldiers.
Yes.
This is why in the real world, we do not have children soldiers.
And if you do, that means the war's gone so badly, you're out of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And out of values too, out of morals.
Yeah, it's like not surrendering, you're just going to keep on fighting until everyone's dead.
Yep.
So, which brings us to Sabine. Sabine sees Ahsoka go off the cliff. And we have like the last temptation of Sabine. And I had mixed feelings on this with her. I get the conflict. She wants to go save Ezra. She also wants to stop like Space Rommel from coming back. Like those are legitimate concerns to be balanced against. There's also the fact that if she did destroy the map, Baylan would rip her apart. Like she would not, that'd be like the last act she gets to do, because she would not hold her own against Baylan. Maybe if she had her jetpack, she could get away, but like that fight would, that's run, don't fight. So there's that half of it. But my question is, does this make Sabine a collaborator? Which raises the military code of justice, and which states any person who aids or attempts to aid the enemy with arms, ammunition, supplies, money, or other things, or without proper authority, knowingly harbors or protects or gives intelligence to or communicates or corresponds or holds any intercourse with the enemy in either directly or indirectly, shall suffer death or other such punishment as a court-martial or a military commission may direct.
Capital offense.
Yeah, there's a few in the military code of justice. Like, I think she did collaborate. She gave over the map, you know, which was the key for being able to go get Thrawn.
Yeah, and she certainly, you know, sort of betrayed the trust of Ahsoka, who said that if it comes down to it, we're going to have to sacrifice Ezra to make sure that they don't get to Thrawn. And I don't know that Sabine ever explicitly agreed to that, but she certainly knew that that was what Ahsoka had planned and wanted to do, and so she betrayed that trust, in the sense of collaborating with an enemy and giving them intelligence or helping them in a way that is contrary to the interests of your side.
Good thing she's not an actual soldier in the New Republic.
Right.
I mean, they do call her commander, so maybe she is. So anyway, this is weird and complicated. Speaking of the New Republic, let's talk about Hera, and we each picked an issue. So first up is, does Hera go AWOL, absent without leave, that she's running a mission on her own, and which I think she should have just done at the beginning. Like, it'd be easier to go like, I'm going to launch a recon with my ship and a couple other X-Wings, and we'll go check it out, and then we will report. Because it's easier to ask forgiveness for going like, look at what we found. Irrefutable proof of this bad thing that's going on. We need to mobilize everyone and go to war, opposed to trying to convince people who don't want to be convinced. So did she expressly have orders to not go?
Well,
I don't know if that's clear or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because going back to our conversation last week, it's interesting that the Senate committee was apparently part of her military chain of command, which was, as we talked about, was kind of odd, and not really the way things work in the real world. So it's a little bit of a questionable relationship there. But also, she was supposed to be at a meeting or something, right, when she boarded her ship. So I guess if someone was court-martialing her, they could say that that was an appointed time that she was expected to be at, and then she wasn't there. And that would be a sufficient violation of the code. But yeah, it's not clear that she's a general. So you would think that she would have some authority to prioritize things and decide on some missions. I would think. I'm no sort of military law person, but that as a civilian outsider, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, we went on a training flight.
Sure.
To this planet that seemed to be suspect. You know, look what we found. I mean, there has to be some inherent authority to go, I'm going to take 5 X-Wings and we're going to check this out. On the flip side, the other way to have handled it, well, she still could have done the meeting, but sent a strike force. You know, that it could have been Carson and, you know, a few other fighters to go out, check this out. If you see them, either come back and report or shoot it down. Like, do use some discretion. That way they're protected because they think they're following a legal order at that point in time. And if they drop the boom on Hera, she goes, yeah, but they're protected and I stopped a war. I'll leave as a hero now. Good, you'll elevate me to martyr out the door. Way to go. And now I'll run for office. Like, it's just a bad. But this, I mean, the ends can't justify the means with military action, because then no one follows orders, and that's a very dangerous world to have. On the flip side, having a little discretion, I mean, like Admiral Nelson talked about that, and going back to the British Navy at the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th, that, you know, it's like you want commanders to actually show some initiative. So that way you don't wait to get attacked. Like, you do the pouncing. A lot of concern there.
Yeah, I imagine that's a tricky balance to strike in a chain of command.
Yeah, because again, she's willing to risk her career and come out swinging with, we had to go stop this big bad. Now we know the big bad's happening. Hopefully they're able to pick up the downed pilots, that those guys were able to eject, because at least the cockpits were intact on the way down.
Yeah.
And then they pick them up in the Ghost. So, or someone's going to have to fly the T-6 because there are out of people down there. So, yeah. So you picked up one, and that ties to Hera, and the ring ship,
Yeah.
Eye of Sion. So
Right.
yes.
Yeah, it's was very Holdo maneuvery, using the giant ring, hyperspace ring to kind of ram the oncoming ghost and its X-wing escort. And it's of course it's illegal to use a vehicle to hurt someone intentionally or even not intentionally. In California, vehicular homicide is a manslaughter crime, where it's generally the kind of where someone is killed, there's a homicide, but it's not necessarily an intentional or malicious murder. It's just kind of an accident, but someone is very severely injured and is killed. And you can so you can be charged and tried as a vehicular manslaughter, or if it's more of an intentional thing where you've used a car to hurt someone, that can be charged as assault with a deadly weapon and a murder if someone dies. So it was interesting to me that she sort of like the way that Elsbeth knew that the ring was probably not going to actually physically strike them because they're small enough vessels that they would just go right through the ring. But at the same time, she initiated the jump with at least the kind of gross negligence that that would qualify as a vehicular manslaughter if you were driving that carelessly. And so and fun and interestingly enough, I noticed that the California Penal Code defines, among other things, as gross negligence as speeding over 100 miles an hour. And so the speed of jumping to hyperspace is, of course, well over 100 miles an hour. So I would call that gross negligence if you're driving straight towards someone in a vehicle going that fast. So yeah, I mean it's an interesting, whereas like the Holdo maneuver was a very intentional, I'm going to use this vehicle to strike another vehicle. This was less obvious to me just because of the configuration of the vehicles, but still obviously a very effective way of getting rid of some pesky interlopers.
That great analysis. The other thing I'm curious about was the comment about they haven't launched fighters, which makes me wonder if the Eye of Sion can launch fighters. Is how much crew does she have? Because we've seen lots of droids.
Yeah.
So are is everything automated so that way it could be run with minimal human crew? Or does she have true believers on board with her? Who are there for the fight? And I don't know the answer to
Yeah.
that. We'll probably
I'm
find out soon.
Yeah, it strikes me. I always thought that, well, always, it's been a couple of weeks, but the Eye of Sion obviously looks like the hyperspace rings that would
Yep.
attach to the Jedi starfighters, obviously. And so maybe it's just designed to just be kind of an accessory to a Star Destroyer. So it doesn't wouldn't really have an independent crew other than getting it from one place to another in order to rendezvous with its cargo.
Yeah, because there's at least one Star Destroyer that needs to come back to the galaxy. Rewatching Rebels, I th thought a total of three were taken by the Purrgil.
Right.
What happened when they got to where they're going? Because is it will be an interesting question. The windows were breached, so if they landed in a vacuum of space.
Yeah.
That's not good for whoever was inside.
Yeah, I mean it's funny because Star Wars is kind of weird about vacuums, and it was I was actually almost a little surprised when I saw Ahsoka in a spacesuit in that the episode a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen a Star Wars character in a spacesuit. That they just sort of traipse around the vacuum, and there's always like kind of open doors looking right out into the void. Of course, they have like apparently some sort of energy field that keeps everything pressurized. But it's always sort of a very fast and loose relationship with physics.
Yeah, it's science fantasy, not science fiction.
Exactly.
But I mean, we've seen spacesuits in the animated series.
That's probably true, yeah.
And because we've seen like the Rebels crew go do EVAs. But at least with those, it was like Sabine's full suit with the helmet actually made a seal for like her to go out into a vacuum. And Ezra was able to do the same. So I'm thinking of the Kurobil episode, but there were others where they went out in a vacuum. So, but again, first time live action, which was, we haven't seen that in live action before.
Yep.
So yeah, there's, well, let's talk about the ending. So we're in the world between worlds, which I did not expect. So everyone who was saying like, oh, we'll see the world between worlds, I was like, oh, get over it. We're not going to see the world between worlds. I was wrong. I was not expecting that to happen. I definitely was not expecting Anakin Skywalker. Hayden Christensen is really getting his renaissance.
Good for him.
Dude earned it. Like, just good for him. Very happy for that dude. But we'll find out after recording what's going on. Like, is this Anakin pre Revenge of the Sith? That means we have some time travel-y stuff to deal with.
Yeah. How would
So,
he have known of it? Because, yeah, it was unclear in Rebels, like, how many people really were aware of the world between worlds. It seemed like the Emperor knew about it, but it was kind of a surprise to Ahsoka and Ezra.
everybody else. Yeah, I would think it would be a Force ghost makes more sense to me. Because
Yeah.
he's still a very powerful Jedi, but his lightsaber was on his belt. All of that's weird. I don't know how to process that.
Yeah, lots of questions. I guess in the special editions of the Return of the Jedi, Hayden Christensen was, of course, digitally reinserted, but he was in kind of the brown robes, right? As a Force ghost, like Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Which, if like that would have solved so many issues. Like if he was dressed like a traditional Jedi, it's like Force ghosts, here we are. Like this is Jedi heaven. Like we're good. Him being as Ahsoka remembered him throws a huge wrench in this that I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, and there's that, like you said, there's kind of a temporal element too, because he says, "I didn't expect to see you so soon." So it's like, when is it for him? Exactly. And how long has he been there? Apparently not very long.
Yeah, or we'll talk about it next week because again, this is just so weird. I mean, it's a huge reveal. It's a shocking reveal. No one had that on their bingo card. I was expecting a recording of Anakin, maybe a flashback, not this.
Yeah.
Well done,
Mixing.
Floney.
Yeah. Mixing fandoms. It's wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Yeah,
It's who
it's like, oh, I was just with your son. Say what?
knew?
Yeah, it's like, you think you're saving Padme? Like, what's happening here? Like,
Oh, yeah. It's very tempting.
super tempting. But again, we messaged after watching, like, wow, okay, did not expect this. Here we go. A lot of Clone Wars fans are going to be ecstatic. So
Yeah.
here we go. So with that, everyone, thanks for tuning in. We're doing double hitters each week with Lower Decks and Ahsoka. So stay tuned for more content. Wherever you listen, please leave a review. Reviews help us get more listeners. So share us, review us. We appreciate that. And we'll be back soon. So wherever you are, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay geeky. Take care.